faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined by Olivier Melnick here. We're going to talk about the rise of anti-Semitism. And again, I'm not shocked by the rise of anti-Semitism. The Bible tells us it'll come. In fact, the Jews, unfortunately, are going to be slaughtered in huge numbers. There'll be another Holocaust. The Bible says it. And I did an online conference entitled Holocaust Horizon. I did a similar conference with the same title, Holocaust Horizon, at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend a few years ago. Olivier Melnick, Arnold Futenbaum, both Jewish, were in attendance. Olivier is going to join me here in just a moment. We had Dr. Andy Woods there. We had several other people there as well, warning about the rise of anti-Semitism. Well, here it is on full display. And trust you me, folks, can I just make it very clear? Anti-Semitism will come from the right, the middle, and the left. Anti-Semitism will come from the right, from the middle, and from the left. Anti-Semitism is already rapidly growing among many so-called evangelical churches. I know we have our loyal and long-educated and much loved and appreciated audience on VCY America. So I know this is not new to most of you. But to those of you that are joining us new on the numerous platforms that are now picking us up, many of you, this is a new topic. When I say anti-Semitism is rising among evangelical Christians, that's a shocking statement because most of you assume evangelical Christians, by their very nature, would be the very opposite of anti-Semitic. No, unfortunately, with the rise of neo-Calvinism, anti-Semitism is growing quickly. And for those who don't know, replacement theology says that God has replaced Israel with the church today. Now, we could do hours and hours on this. Olivier Melnick will, I'm sure, comment on this when I bring him on here in a minute. But when we study the Bible correctly, using the right hermeneutical tools, we know that the word Israel means Israel. The word church or ecclesia, called out ones, means church. As Dr. Andy Woods likes to often say, isn't it interesting that to the people in evangelicalism that claim that Israel has been replaced by the church want to claim the promises promised by God to Israel, but they don't want to claim or be aware of the judgments of God that God's word warns about to the nation of Israel. The Bible is very clear in the book of Genesis, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. I will say again, people often say to me, Brannon, how is it that God has blessed you and your organization so much? First, I say, we don't deserve it, that's for sure. I deserve judgment. But because of my faith in Christ alone, I have passed from judgment into life. But when people ask, well, first of all, there's the idea of what the Bible says, put your hand to the plow and work hard. Work hard. Perseverance, work, a work ethic. Don't be lazy. So there are various factors. But one of the main ones would be that Genesis says, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. Speaking of the Jews. Now, I want to make it very clear again today. I am not defending everything every Jew has ever done any more than I would defend what every Gentile has ever done. There have been good Jews and bad Jews, good Gentiles and bad Gentiles. We have many who are Jewish by heritage, but in reality, I'm more Jewish than they are in that I care more about the Jewish people. I understand more about the history of the Jewish state. I understand what God's plan or economy is for the Jewish people. We have many self-hating Jews. I think George Soros would be one. Karl Marx would be another. So my defense of God's plan for the Jewish state doesn't mean I approve of everything going on in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is largely in disbelief today. No wonder they have what is reported to be one of the highest abortion rates in the world. They have a very, very large LGBTQ radical community. They have New Age, occultic New Age Jews. Israel is a diverse nation, just like America. I don't condemn all of America because of a few, nor do I condemn all of Israel because of a few. But make it very clear, my love for the Jewish people and my defense of the Jewish people is rooted in my understanding of the Bible. And yes, the Jewish people, by and large, in Israel and around the world, are in disbelief. And guess what? Unsaved people do, well, things that unsaved people do. That's true for Jew or Gentile. But the Bible is very clear that God is going to get the attention of the Jewish people during the tribulation period. And yes, the Jews will be the ones that set up the Antichrist. They will allow him to confirm a treaty with them. And they'll believe he is their Messiah, but then he will turn on them and slaughter them in huge numbers. And they will realize, oh, the one we crucified was our Messiah. And the Jews who come to Yeshua, our Messiah, will become great evangelists. Yes, the stage is being set for the drastic rise of anti-Semitism, as I warned about in those two conferences several years ago, Holocaust Horizon. And yet, as I said, the anti-Semitism will come from the right, from the left, from the middle. Don't be shocked when it's aided by the chosen talking heads of many in the conservative arena. Most of these people are not there because they're bright. Most of them are not there because they're studied. Most of them have not been picked and put where they are, given the positions they have to reach so many, because they are scholarly. They either speak well, read a teleprompter well, look good on TV, or of the right people group so they can have a little diversity. Most of them are not picked because they are actually qualified for the job. Most of them I've challenged to come on this broadcast and be interviewed by me will not do that, because they're not bright enough to come on this program and talk about the issues of the day, the worldviews that are vying for our hearts and our minds, the history, the theology, the doctrine, all of these issues that make up a comprehensive worldview. Most of these people, if they don't have their teleprompters or talking points in front of them, they're lost. And yet this is who gets put up in front of the American people to lead the so-called conservative movement, many who are leading us right into the trap of normalizing anti-Semitism. And this is the same with many of our Christian leaders today. This is who many within Christendom have put on radio and television and big publishing contracts. And yet, whether I'm speaking about John Piper or any numerous ones I could mention, whether they know it or not, or intend to or not, their writings and speeches and books proclaiming replacement theology and defending the PLO, trashing on the Jewish state and the Jewish people, and their right biblically and historically to the land, is laying the foundation for the rise of anti-Semitism. Joining me now is Olivier Melnick. Olivier is a Messianic Jew. He believes Jesus was and is Messiah, Yeshua. And he has a website tracking anti-Semitism. He has a full book on it. You might want to get a pen and paper. Olivier, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Always good to see you, Brennan.
So today we have many topics to talk about, and this would be, of course, one of them I want to get to right away. Quote, "I like Hitler," end quote, Kanye West says, denies Holocaust in Alex Jones interview. The rapper also asserted that Hitler, who West said he had, who he said had redeeming qualities, quote, didn't kill 6 million Jews, end quote. It's getting worse today. We're now reading that he has taken the Star of David and put a swastika in the middle of it. That's what we're reading if you guys go over to worldviewreport.com. Here's the headline. West tweeted out a photo late Thursday promoting his 2024 presidential campaign with a photo of a Star of David encasing a swastika. What do you make of all this?
Where do I start? First of all, Brandon, not to pat you and I on the back, but about 5 weeks ago, we spoke of Kanye West.
Yep.
And you know, easy, you know, people are always going to say, okay, is he sick? Is he anti-Semitic? They're using the same logic that they use for Martin Luther. What was the reason why he said or what he said? The important part is not the motive behind what he said, but it's the fact that he said it. And like I put in one of my articles on my website, newantisemitism.com, and the one about Kanye, the first one about 5 weeks ago, I said that, Martin Luther did not look for a Holocaust forward, but Hitler looked back at Luther and said, hey, I'll finish what this guy spoke about. Well, Kanye said some words. He might not be looking for a Holocaust of the Jews again, but somebody will come after him and said, hey, I like what he said. I'm just going to finish up the job. And that's exactly what's going to start happening. I think what we're seeing right now, especially with what happened yesterday, I mean, I'm still in shock at what, you know, how bold he was. And one after the other, the statements he made about the Holocaust never happened. There was not 6 million Jews. Hitler was an interesting person, you know. So denying the Holocaust and saying that Hitler had redeeming qualities. I'm still in shock, Brandon, because what I'm seeing right now is a new phase where the anti-Semitism is entering a new phase, which I would call a normalization. And basically, it's becoming mainstream. So something that used to be fought by some because it was just wrong, and it is wrong, there's going to be more and more people going like, you know what? It's okay to be anti-Semitic. And I think we see it in another aspect of it, and I'm sure you're going to want to talk about that too, Brandon. The fact that there was a survey taken by
Human Resource Dive had the article about a survey taken about managers hiring Jews. Human resource development managers and companies hiring Jews.
Yeah, it's called, the company's called Resume Builders, I think. And in that survey that was taken, I was shocked. I talked to you about it yesterday. I think you might have mentioned it on your show yesterday or the day before. But the numbers, like the one that is, of all the numbers they came up with, the one that is sending chills to my spine is the one that says 29% of people say it is acceptable to be anti-Semitic at work. Anti-Semitism is acceptable.
Here's the article. I put it up at Worldview Report the other day. That's where I found it. I put it up on worldviewreport.com. It's from HR Dive. 1 in 4 hiring managers say they're less likely to hire Jewish applicants. Quote, in this era of fighting for quality in hiring, Jewish individuals have largely been left out of the conversation, end quote, Resume Builder said. We'll deal with this and more, including, well, 5 weeks ago we dealt with this. We asked Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens to condemn strongly. Yay, that hasn't happened. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. So again, we go back to this article from HR Dive. 1 in 4 hiring managers say they're less likely to hire Jewish applicants. And you went on to say in here, Olivier Melnick, that additionally, 1 in 6 hiring managers said leadership told them not to hire Jewish applicants, while 1/3 said anti-Semitism is common in their workplace. Just under 1/3, 29% said anti-Semitism is, quote, acceptable, end quote, at their company. That is so shocking.
Oh, I'm without words, Brennan. A third of the people say it's present. They're not saying it's unfortunate. They're not saying it's a problem. They're saying it's acceptable. We have gotten to a new level with this. What's happening this week? I believe that anti-Semitism, it's been kicked up a couple of notches.
Yeah. And 5 weeks ago, you and I called on Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, both who had interviewed him, promoted him at that time, like a week before, aggressively in interviews, etc. Candace, I think, traveling to some fashion show to wear some stupid shirt. I see the whole thing as a big political stunt. We called 5 weeks ago for them to come out in no uncertain terms and in the harshest terms to condemn Kanye West. To my knowledge, neither one of them has done so as of yet. And now yes, here we are. Now here we are. In my mind, I don't care what Tucker Carlson says. I don't care what Candace says. Both of them, in my mind, either are A, cowards, B, really quite stupid, or 3... maybe they agree a little bit with Kanye. I don't know. Or maybe 4, they don't have the courage or their convictions to come out and condemn him. I don't know what it is. But this should not have been hard to do 5 weeks ago. Why, from a PR position, would you not separate yourself from Kanye West 5 weeks ago with what we knew then? Separate yourself from him as fast as you can. That's my opinion.
Well, the thing that really bothered me with Candace Owens, and I always appreciated her voice, a young, fresh, conservative voice from an African American woman, very, very, very smart. And I always
not so sure about that, but that's your. I'm not so sure about that, but that's your opinion.
Okay,
She got completely rolled over by a pro-Islamic. Sat there and let him just roll it over. And we're about to hear a really dumb comment from her defending what I think sounds like defending Hitler's nationalism, as long as he kept it inside Germany.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, what really bothered me was when she said that again, that, not exactly in those words, but she said, cut him some slack. He's not trying to, talking about Kanye, cut him some slack. He's not, obviously not trying to start another Holocaust. Well, in that article that I wrote 5 weeks ago, I quoted verbatim the words that were used by Martin Luther, who was not trying to start a Holocaust. And
There it is. There's the tweet you're talking about, I think. Anybody correlating Ye to Adolf Hitler should no longer be taken seriously as a commentator, politician, or journalist anymore. Just an absolute joke. Well, this is why I don't think personally anyone should take Candace Owens seriously.
Now, I was thinking of another. I've read this one too. I was thinking about another one where she verbatim says he's not trying to start another Holocaust, and that's what I could not agree. I mean, I agree with her that he's not starting to start another Holocaust, but words have consequences. You look at Martin Luther again, and words have grave consequences. So, and that was 5 weeks ago. Now, today, here we are. Kanye has basically completely destroyed his career and his reputation. And people are dropping him. All the deals that were still left, between him and different, companies are just disappearing quickly. I don't want to open another kind of worms, Brennan, there's somebody else who should say something, who should probably put Kanye back in his place. It's President Trump.
Absolutely. He needs to come out in the harshest of terms and condemn this. Absolutely. And I read today that there's going to be new policies put into place as to who can get inside Mar-a-Lago. Apparently, from what I'm reading, they didn't realize who Kanye was bringing with them, this Nick Fuentes guy. But the fact that Kanye was even let in the door, I mean, he should have never been let in the door. We already knew enough from 5 weeks ago. This guy should not be let in the door. And
No. And it's not going well with some key people in the Israeli government. I know that I haven't read a lot about it, but I know that Netanyahu is already saying that this was not a good move. And so I think a lot of people from different angles are expecting President Trump to make a statement, something, because that was a faux pas. That was a major faux pas what he did.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a side note here.
Let me go to this clip of Candace Owens relating, quote, if Hitler wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. Problem is, he had dreams outside of Germany. Okay, that again shows you this is, in my opinion, not a bright gal, but she doesn't even understand what nationalism is, apparently. Listen to what she says.
Yeah, I agree. I actually don't have any problems at all with the word nationalism. I think that it gets, the definition gets poisoned by elitists that actually want globalism. Globalism is what I don't want. So when you think about, whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, in at least in America, is Hitler. You know, he was a national socialist. But if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is that he had dreams outside of Germany. He wanted.
Oh, okay. Really, really. Okay, this woman is not bright at all, in my opinion. I dare her to come on my show and debate me. She won't.
Well,
but let me just say this real quick, what my problem is with that comment. As long as Hitler's carrying out the Holocaust inside Germany, is that okay? Okay, number one. Number two, there are different types of nationalism. I write about it in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, that came out in 2015. I prefer the term patriotism over nationalism. But if you're defending your borders, your language, your history, your money, you know, these things, this that make you a nation, then you want to call it nationalism? Fine. But the bad nationalism, as promoted by Adolf Hitler, says that the state is of primary importance. So if Hitler wants to carry out national socialism inside his borders, are you telling me, oh, well, that's okay, as long as he's doing it inside his state, we don't care if he's killing Jews and imprisoning Christians and taking down the cross and putting up the swastika, removing the Bible, putting in Mein Kampf, having the church denominations dissolved under the Reich Bishop, handpicked by Adolf Hitler, mixing the cross with the swastika, and completely transforming Germany, as long as he does all of that persecution and butchering and murdering and persecution of Christians and Jews inside the borders of Germany to make Germany great again, then you just have at it. Well, she apparently doesn't understand nationalism by Hitler was the idea that the state was of primary importance, and the correlation when we say, quote, nationalism in America, we mean patriotism, our national sovereignty, national borders, our own currency. She doesn't even seem to understand what she's saying right now.
Well, the biggest issue I had with that statement that you just played was what you basically put your finger on it, the fact that it's okay if it happens within Germany. A lot of German Jews died because of that. And some escaped at the beginning in the early 30s, but a lot of German Jews died. So she clearly... She needs a history lesson, that's for sure.
Well, and she needs a history lesson on Islam, too. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. The problem with America, conservatism today, is it is filled with a lot of people that don't have the wherewithal, the maturity, the knowledge, the scholarship to be where they're at.
Well, in the age of the internet, you get a lot of people, anyway, I'm not going to go there. My favorite quote from the internet is, don't believe everything you read on the internet, signed Abraham Lincoln.
That's good. Let me let, what's her name, Candace, finish her comment.
To globalize, he wanted everybody to be German, everybody to be speaking German, everybody to look a different way. That's not, to me, that's not nationalism. So in thinking about how it could go bad down the line, I don't really have an issue with nationalism. I really don't. I think that it's okay. It's important to retain your country's identity and to make sure that what's happening here, which I think is incredibly worrisome in terms of the decrease in the birth rate that we're seeing in the UK, is what you kind of want to avoid. So I don't have anything problem. I have no problems with nationalism. It's globalism that I try to avoid.
Okay, again, bad answer. Because she's not even distinguishing between the nationalism of Adolf Hitler or Mussolini, and I have no problem with nationalism. She doesn't even seem to understand. Well, let's define nationalism, Candace. The bad nationalism, again, is the state is of primary importance. The state. And, of course, in a fascist nationalist system, it's big government, big business merging together in this communitarianism, this kind of fascist nationalism. She's so ignorant, in my opinion. It's shocking she's anyone pays attention to her.
She's using the word nationalism, in a broader sense.
Yes.
You and I would use it. She needed to define it. She might know, but she sure didn't. She sure didn't sound like she did in that little clip. So yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend the rest of my time speaking of the Candace Owens. I was disappointed in her statement about the Holocaust and the fact that she just thought it was okay in Germany, but not anywhere else. So that was just awkward at the very least.
Well, and I did not realize. Did you? I did not know this because I don't follow this brand of so-called conservatism because I think there are a lot of empty-headed people. But according to this, Candace Owens, a month ago, Parler, her husband's website, correlating Yee to Adolf Hitler is an absolute joke. So I didn't realize. Did you know that? It's reported that Owens' husband works at Parler, is a major leader at Parler. I didn't even know that. It wasn't Yee about to purchase Parler? So the whole thing seems a little odd. Now maybe I'm understanding some of the politics behind the scenes.
I did not know. I don't know what her husband does. And I know that Kanye West was supposed to purchase Parler, and he was denied that yesterday or today. That the deal went south because it just,
Newsweek reports that Owens, whose husband George Farmer is the CEO of Parler, so I did not know that. And again, I know that Kanye was supposed to be purchasing Parler, but I guess that's off today. So anyway, I have to again wonder how much is this politics behind the scenes, versus principle. Let's go to this story again here, and that's related to the number of people that think anti-Semitism in the workplace is acceptable, 29%. With this trend we're seeing within the right, the left, the religious circles, it's all over the map now. Where do you see this going? Where do you see us in 5 years?
Well, first of all, Brandon, to make a matter even worse, 29% say that anti-Semitism is acceptable in their company. That's for the people who are willing to speak up on this. What about all those who don't want to talk about anti-Semitism, are afraid of discussing it? I'm sure the numbers are higher. That's the point I'm trying to make. So there's 29% saying, like, it's okay to be anti-Semitic at work. And then there is those who are anti-Semitic but don't want to talk about it openly. So I'm sure the numbers are higher, which is even of greater importance.
All right, come back. I want to ask you real quick. What do you, and then I know I need to let you go. I want you to plug your website, your book and stuff. But when you come back, I want you to answer the question. What do you say to those who do run around saying the Jews today are not the real Jews? Because I think that was one of the things that Kanye was saying, and the Kazi Jews and all this other stuff you hear out there. I want you to respond to that, would you? Because that has become very prominent on the side of people on the right run around saying this. This is a propaganda and a lie that's really seeped into the minds of a lot of people that we agree with on many things, and then all of a sudden they throw that out there. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. And again, my views and opinions here that I express or that of Olivier may be offensive to some who, again, they seem to be more committed to personality than principle. That's fine. That's their right. And those that we talk about are always welcome to come on the show and debate me, whether this show or my nighttime show. So again, we're just practicing freedom of speech while it still lasts in America. I'm not so sure how much longer it will last. Will you address this issue, please, Olivier, regarding the Jews are not real Jews? That you know what I'm talking about, right? All right, we have no voice. There we go.
You, Brandon, you mean to say that there are people who do not like you? I'm shocked. I'm not one of them.
I know you're not. I mean, I'm shocked sometimes how many people that have followed me now won't because I speak up for the Jewish people. I mean, I'm now House, I didn't realize you were a Zionist. I'm done with you. Oh, yeah. No, I say... I'm not just a Zionist. I'm a Christian Zionist. Let's be accurate.
and I gotta tell you, you should see the comments I get on my YouTube channel on the stuff that people post trying to correct me or tell me I'm wrong or call me names just because they. It's just like it's terrible. I ignore them, but I see them because I have to look at them. Movement. It's called Hebrew Israelites. It's mostly it's entirely made of African American, usually men. I think I haven't seen any women. It's strange. I'm just thinking about that. And they are basically claiming that they are the real Jews, but they really, here's the thing, they cannot give you any real biblical proof for that. I mean, who's a real Jew? According to the Bible, is a Jew is a descendant of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through one of the 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob. And so if you are one of those, you are a real Jew. And for some reason, they claim that they are the real Jews from all the tribes. Now, mind you, nobody today can identify any of the tribes of Israel except for the tribes of Levi, because this was carried by the last name of Levi, Cohen, Khan, Lowenthal, Leventhal, and all those names. So they would be from the tribe of Levi. But all the other tribal records were destroyed in the temple in AD 70. So we can't really know who's Jewish by which tribe. But these people claim that they are the real Jews. And what's interesting is that not only they claim they're the real Jews, but they're anti-Semitic against the real Jews. So they say, we are the Jews, and those who are claiming to be Jews are not. And they say, like Kanye said in his comment, I cannot be anti-Semitic because I'm a real Jew. And so, which makes no sense at all. Not all people that follow the movement of Hebrew Israelism or Black Israelites, not all of them are going to be anti-Semitic. We never want to paint with broad strokes. But the vast majority of them, when you talk to them, I had some encounters with them in Times Square years ago when they were like speaking to the crowd, and I started talking to them, and it could have gotten dangerous. I told them I was Jewish, and it was not good. It was not good. So again, and that was, my goodness, that was almost 20 years ago.
Well,
so
I want you to speak also to this, and then I know we need to let you go. But look at this. This is from an article by John Piper with the Gospel Coalition, neo-Calvinist, false gospel, works-based gospel. He talks about for final salvation, we must, reject sin and pursue holiness. Well, it's a good thing to pursue holiness. Absolutely. That's sanctification. Justification is immediate when you place your faith and trust in Christ through faith and repentance. That's justification. Sanctification then is ongoing faithfulness and obedience. But he wants to merge the two and say, for final salvation, you gotta work. You gotta earn it. That's really odd. But anyway, that's just one of many problems. You want to comment on that before I give you the next one?
Yeah, final salvation doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it's like saying, as a Christian, there are things you can do to be more saved. You can't get more saved. You either saved or you're not saved.
Right.
You get saved the day you accept the death and resurrection of Jesus, Yeshua, for your sins. And it's a free gift. That moment you become saved, you cannot lose it and you cannot get more of it because you're saved once and for all. So then the process is, you know, from justification. Then you have sanctification, which is a process for the rest of your life until you go into glory. So it's a process, is justification, sanctification, getting you better, closer to Christ, and then glorification. We don't become God, but we go in glory and we are in our glorified body. So I don't know what final, what is it called?
Final salvation.
Yep. There's no such thing as final salvation, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but yet
there's
this man.
Salvation or damnation.
That's right. But yet, despite this man's false gospel, and despite his, I believe, in my opinion, theologically speaking, his anti-Semitism, he still gets put up on the platform of some of the biggest conferences and churches and of Bible teachers in America. Here is what he wrote in one of his articles that I included in a presentation a few years ago. John Piper writes, throughout the history of Israel, covenant breaking and disobedience and idolatry disqualified Israel from the present divine right to the land. So there you go. There's his replacement theology.
That is not true. That is not biblical. As a matter of fact, even when God took the Jewish people in 567 BC, when he took the Jewish people in a Babylonian captivity because they had not kept given the land the sabbatical rest that the land was supposed to receive. So as a discipline, he took him 7 years into captivity. He said that he was going to discipline them, chastise them. But he also said, even though I'm doing all this, I'm not quoting the verse exactly, I am not going to give the land to anybody else. You're going to be disciplined and you'll come back to it. So even when he was disciplining the Jewish people, the land always belonged to the Jewish people by God's choice. He gave them the deed. That is his land, or, you know, that's God's land. But the land of Israel, as God gave the boundaries in Genesis 15, which, by the way, those boundaries are going to be only realized in the Messianic kingdom. They're about twice the size of Texas, which right now we only have about the size of New Jersey. Big difference. But that is not changed. It's never changed. That has always been given to Israel and Israel only, and Israel's disobedience will result in Israel's discipline, but not in Israel's removal of God's promises, because they're unconditional, meaning they're not based on Israel's performance, they're based on God's character. Big difference.
Absolutely. Amen and amen. And of course, the land, as you just said, that Israel occupies today isn't even all the land that God has promised to them, which he will eventually give to them.
Yes.
And again, how can you say that God is done with Israel when this nation rises up and becomes a nation again in 48, returns to the original form of money, the shekel, the original language, the Hebrew language, the deserts of Israel become as a guard, and become a mighty fighting force, and they're blessing the world in some ways that the Bible says will happen? I mean, how can you say God is done when you see all these remarkable things happen the few that I just mentioned with the ideas that those would happen without divine intervention is mind-blowing, when all the world never wanted them to become a nation again, other than a few nations like us.
It's a miracle that Israel and the Jewish people exist today. I should not exist today with all the hatred against the Jews for centuries. I should not exist today. But the thing that really bothers me is that those who say that God has transferred all his promises to the church, promises he made unconditionally and eternally to Israel, and then we get that from Scripture. When he's transferred those promises, then basically these people, they won't admit it, but they're calling God a liar, they're calling him a covenant breaker, and if you want to take that a step further, they're saying, hey, the promises he made to me that I'm saved by the blood of Yeshua, maybe he's going to take that back too, because after all, he's a covenant breaker and a promise, you know, he's not a promise keeper. So maybe salvation is not secure, because if he is going to take his word on what he promised Israel, then any other promises, including our salvation, is not secure, which of course is not true.
Amen and amen. John Piper in the article, Israel, Palestine, and the Middle East writes, so the promise to Abraham, show this guys, here we go. So the promise to Abraham that his descendants will inherit the land does not mean that all Jews inherit that promise. It will come finally to the true Israel, the Israel that keeps covenant and obeys her God.
Yeah, see, the land promise has nothing to do with performance. It's to all the Jews. Now, this does not mean that all Jewish people are saved simply because they're Jewish. That's another false doctrine known as dual covenant theology. So we don't want to mix the two. The land promise is part of the Abrahamic covenant. Can't take it away, or you take the whole covenant away. And but the salvation, which is even more important than the land promise, if you ask me, salvation for the Jewish people comes through the sacrificial atonement that Yeshua did on the cross for you, for me, for the whole world. And that's the same. It's the same salvation for all people through the same venue, the death of Yeshua, the Lamb of God on the cross, the innocent dying for the guilty. And that includes the Jewish people. Same for everybody. And Jewish people need that just the same. The Gentiles, Muslims, everybody need the same salvation. It's the same for everybody. There's only one way. There's not more. There's one God. And not to get on another topic, but Allah is not another name for Jehovah. But that I don't want to open that can of worms with you, Brandon, because we'll be here for another hour.
Yeah, we'll. Okay, promote your book. Let us know about your book and where you track the anti-Semitism.
Okay, so one of my book, which is you can find them both on Amazon, End Times Anti-Semitism, New Chapter in Longest Hatred. A lot of information, historical information, and as well as current events. And then a very quick read, but important read, The Time Is Now, 7 Steps Christians Should Take to Help the Jewish People. I have more books than that. Those are my most recent ones. You can find them on Amazon. It's probably the easiest way to get them right now on Amazon. And then you can visit me. I have a lot of information on my YouTube channel. You can go, at Olivier Melnick is my handle, or Olivier Melnick Today Through Jewish Eyes. And you want to subscribe and you don't want to miss all the videos. I'm about to put a new one today as well.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all you do. And we'll be praying for you and your ministry. And hope people will get your books, follow your website. Because again, this is of biblical importance because it's important to God. It also helps us understand what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening to Israel, why, and where we're at on God's prophetic calendar. So there are many reasons we cover this topic, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm always always delighted that every time there's something going on, not delighted is not the word, but every time there's something going on against the Jews in the news, I'm looking at my computer screen and I'm reading and I'm starting to write articles and I'm going like, I'm gonna get a phone call from Brandon. This I know it's coming. I know he's gonna call me. He's gonna, Olivier, let's get on the show. I know it's happening.
Well, that's because I am a righteous Gentile that loves the Jewish people, right?
Yes, you do. And I love you, my brother.
You too, my friend. Be safe, my friend. We'll stay in touch. Phone lines now open, 1-800-347-9829. Are you a righteous Gentile? That doesn't mean that we're not sinful. We have the old man that battles the new mind, right? But it means that through God's eyes, we're righteous because of Christ and his work. And therefore, we want to be righteous Gentiles in that we understand the topics like we've just described. What God's doing with the Jewish people. 1-800-347-9829. Phone lines open. All right, here we go. Worldview Radio. Go to Yahoo or Google or whatever search engine you use, and show this screen, guys. I want you to type this in. Okay, this was put up on my website in 2018. The Khazars and the Jews by Dr. Tommy Ice. So the, and then spell it K-H-A-Z-A-R-S. K-H-A-Z-A-R-S and the Jews by Dr. Tommy Ice. One of the tactics used by some anti-Christian Zionists is to say that most modern Jews are not true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This errant theory is based upon wrong conclusions that they have drawn from the history of medieval nations in which some converted to Judaism. Khazar was a nation composed largely of Turkish stock that lived between the Black and Caspian Seas during the 7th to 10th centuries, some holding a replacement theology, and many neo-Nazis are attracted to this theory in which they conclude the Jews are not really Jews. This whole article explains the theory. It's examined why it's wrong. The DNA, by the way, the DNA, the science, has been refuted, this idea, by scholars and their research into the history of the Khazars and many, and more recently, by genetic evidence showing the Jews from all parts of the world are genetically closely related to the Middle Eastern Jews and not so closely related to non-Jewish Russians, Eastern Europeans, and others from that region. There's the article, because I'm really getting sick and tired of hearing people spew their ignorance, which really sets up anti-Semitism. Let's go to the phone lines. Again, that's on our website. Has been there for since 2018. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions on what you're hearing today. Let's start out with Brad from West Allis, line one. Brad, thanks for calling in, Brad.
Hey, Brandon. Yeah, on the same subject here, Israelites not being real Jews. Okay, if they're not real Jews, then why do you inflict your anti-Semitism on them?
That's so true.
Why do you hate them at all? If they're not Jews, why don't you tell them, hey, you're welcome to be in Israel's land because we like you because you're not Jews? Their actions and words prove that what their claim is false.
That is such a great statement, Brad. Because if
the other thing is about John Piper. I saw that guy on TV with his replacement theology. This guy's half a bubble off a plum to begin with. I saw him stand there and say that he wouldn't defend his wife by shooting a criminal invading his home because the criminal might go to hell.
That's right. I have it on video, which is a weird form of Calvinism, because guess what? If you shoot him, he goes to hell. He wasn't one of the elect, I guess, John. But apparently, you know, what I find real interesting is that most of these guys, their theology is only good in their books, in the pulpit. It doesn't work in the real life. And the more they talk, the more they contradict what they say they believe in their sermons and their books.
Their congregations have to be not reading their Bibles, I guess.
As always, Brad, we love it when you call in.
Thank you.
Faith, line two from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Faith, for calling in, Faith.
Hey, I will look up Tommy Ice and the Khazars. I use StartPage as my search engine, StartPage. I think I'd like to just say that the prodigal son, his had left his father's home, but he was still the son of that father who welcomed them back. Also, Mennonite in Germany, I guess in the 40s, from their own literature, and I love the Mennonites, I'm in that area, have had voted for Hitler because he was not a communist. So I guess that kind of left a bad taste in their mouths regarding voting.
Wow. Well, there was a battle between the socialist and the communist, no doubt about it. And of course, many of the communists took out their black and put on the brown shirts when they realized who was going to win. So at the end of the day, there's really not that much difference. It's just varying degrees of speed. Great call, Faith. Thank you. Line three, CeCe from Arizona. Thank you for calling in today, CeCe.
Hello, I was just calling in regards of the whole anti-Semitic thing with the black culture right now.
Yes.
Me and my sister have been arguing back and forth about this for about 5 years. She just flipped and said that she was Jewish, and I didn't get that. I mean, I studied the Bible, and I understand, I think, the Holy Spirit has revealed a lot of the truth of it to me. So listening to you today has given me some new insight on where this is coming from. So they are being indoctrinated to believe that Jewish people aren't Jews and that they are black. And regardless, to me, they're just missing the point, because if it were not for the Jews, we would not have ever been grafted in.
Yeah, the gospel was given.
Saved because of the Jews, mistake or no. You know, it's because God wanted to bring his people back to him. So he grafted us in to make them look bad, because he knew we would believe in him without all the things that he had done for them.
Yeah, he wanted to make them jealous. You know, he says it was for the Jew and then the Gentile, right? And so when he offered the kingdom to them, and he said, you know, the kingdom is standing right here in your midst, referring to himself, they rejected the kingdom. As we know, it's been put on hold, if you hold to the dispensational view that we do. It's been put on hold, and it's gonna be fulfilled. But then he went and he sought out the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. And so, you know, CC, you're a great caller. Here's one thing I would say, though, just to make sure everybody's, you know, on the same page. There are Jews that are black. But many of the people that are claiming to be black Jews, they're not. Now, there are Ethiopians, black as night Ethiopians, that are Jews, and the DNA confirms it. And Israel, the white Jews or the olive-skinned Jews who are called apartheid state, have spent a lot of money since the 80s, the late 80s, picking up plane loads of Ethiopian black Jews and bringing them to Israel to keep them safe from harm. So when the DNA is there, nobody has a problem with someone being black in skin color or brown in skin color saying they're a Jew. But look, a lot of people running around saying that that aren't at all. Let's go to Paul real quick. Paul in Oklahoma City. Go, Paul. We'll get you in.
All right. So I just want to make a few quick comments on Piper. Piper, if they broke the covenant, then that should apply to you too, because all of us have broken God's covenant. And I'm a Calvinist, and I know the truth. And number two, if Jesus was done with the Jews, then why is Satan so desperate to destroy them? And then number three, you got to remember that God has clearly predestined Jews in the future to be saved, and that is why we should continually try to.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.